In today's news headlines, President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump visited areas of the Florida Panhandle affected by Hurricane Michael on Monday. Trump told reporters he was going to ask Congress for disaster funding. According to AP, Trump visited an aid distribution center set up in a parking lot filled with boxes of diapers, piles of clothes, and bottled water. He and the First Lady handed out bottles of water to residents who came to see him and tell him their stories about the storm. The powerful hurricane hit Florida on October 10th as a Category 4 storm with winds between 140 and 155 miles per hour. In the span of a few hours, it devastated whole towns and then moved ahead to Georgia, where there was also damage. This is Trump touring Lynn Haven, Florida, with Governor Rick Scott.
We've got local law enforcement crews coming to augment our local law enforcement. We've got a great sheriff here, Tommy Ford. I'm not sure where he is. But we're going to do everything we can to get this community back to work. And I want to thank the president for always taking my call and showing up. And I want to thank the First Lady for being here and showing your support for the people here in Panama City.
And I just want to say the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, has done an unbelievable job. Everybody, we're meeting hundreds of people along with you, and they're all talking about the great job the governor's doing and everybody is doing together.
Great.
So, Rick, I want to thank you.
Thank you. It's been great coordination.
I want to thank you. Thank you all very much. I think the governor will tell you we're doing a lot. We are doing more than anybody would have ever done. And probably there hasn't been hits like this, certainly not very often. They say 50 years ago, there was one that had this kind of power. 50 years ago, that's a long time.
That's President Trump speaking to reporters during his visit to Florida's devastated communities. Neither Trump nor Florida Governor Rick Scott, who was standing right next to him, will admit that climate change is causing rare and powerful storms to become the new normal. In news about the murdered Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has arrived in the Gulf Arab Kingdom on Tuesday. Mr. Pompeo met with the Saudi King Salman, as well as his son, the nation's de facto leader, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The meeting is taking place at the same time as reports are emerging that Saudi Arabia will admit to the journalist's killing. According to CNN, quote, Saudi Arabia will contend that the Washington Post columnist died when an interrogation went awry. Turkish officials inspected the Saudi consulate on Monday for 9 hours, the location where Khashoggi was last seen and where he is suspected to have been killed. One journalist observed that hours before the Turkish inspection, AP and Reuters camera staff saw a cleaning crew entering the consulate with a large supply of cleaning materials. Early on Monday, President Trump, in an obvious effort to absolve the U.S.'s largest weapons buyers, spoke to reporters, saying that the Saudi king denied responsibility for the killing. Trump also speculated that rogue killers may have murdered the journalist.
I just spoke with the king of Saudi Arabia, who denies any knowledge of what took place with regard to, as he said, his Saudi Arabian citizen. I've asked, and he firmly denied that. The king firmly denied any knowledge of it. He didn't really know. Maybe, I don't want to get into his mind, but it sounded to me like maybe these could have been rogue killers. Who knows? We're going to try getting to the bottom of it very soon.
That was Trump speaking to reporters on Monday about the Jamal Khashoggi killing. Later in the hour today, we'll cover this story and turn to Code Pink's Media Benjamin for a discussion of whether it will impact U.S.-Saudi relations and particularly arms sales. In other news, the U.S. government reported its highest deficit in 6 years on Monday in a report released by the Treasury Department. The deficit of $779 billion includes the amount that the government went into debt for the first full 12-month period that Trump was president. According to Reuters, economists generally view the corporate and individual tax cuts passed by the Republican-controlled U.S. Congress late last year and an increase in government spending agreed in early February as likely to balloon the nation's deficit. Borrowing has increased over the past year, partially to make up for slower growth in tax revenues because of the tax cuts, while military spending has also risen, end of quote. Republicans, who have reacted with hysteria to deficits under Democratic administrations, are silent on Trump's enormous deficit. Unlike the U.S. government, Trump's re-election campaign chest is bursting with cash. On Monday, the Washington Post reported that the president has already raised a whopping $100 million for his re-election campaign for 2020. According to the Post, Trump pulled in $18.1 million last quarter through his campaign committee and two joint fundraising committees with the Republican National Committee for a total of at least $106 million since January 2017, according to federal filings made public Monday evening. The Campaign Finance Institute remarked that no other president dating back to at least Ronald Reagan had raised any money at this point for his own campaign committee. Trump has appointed Mary Mayhew to head the national program on Medicaid. Mayhew is one of the program's strongest critics, which is no surprise given that Trump has routinely appointed people to head departments that they previously sought to destroy. Vox reported that Mayhew previously served in the administration of Maine Governor Paul LePage, who has refused to implement a Medicaid expansion that voters approved more than a year ago, despite court orders that he do so. Mayhew has been outspoken in the past, testifying in front of committees against the Medicaid expansion aspect of the Affordable Care Act. In other medical news, the federal government announced on Monday that it wants pharmaceutical companies to mention the prices of prescription medication in their ads. But the industry wants to disclose prices only on their company websites. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar introduced a proposal on Monday to require drug prices to be revealed for all medication covered by Medicare and Medicaid. He said, quote, patients deserve to know what a given drug would cost when they're being told about the benefits and risks it may have. They deserve to know if the drug company has pushed their prices to abusive levels, and they deserve to know this every time they see a drug advertised to them on TV. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is under attack for taking a DNA test in response to President Trump's repeated goading of her claims of Native American ethnicity. The potential presidential candidate and progressive Democrat unveiled in elaborate detail the results of a DNA test that showed she had Native American ancestry going back 6 to 8 generations. Although she said she does not claim membership in any tribe, the Cherokee Nation spokesperson shot back saying, using a DNA test to lay claim to any connection to the Cherokee Nation or any tribal nation, even vaguely, is inappropriate and wrong. The spokesperson added, Senator Warren is undermining tribal interests with her continued claims of tribal heritage. President Trump, who has repeatedly belittled Warren, calling her Pocahontas, bragged that he would give $1 million to charity if she could prove her heritage. On Monday, Trump walked back that promise, saying he never said he would do it. Warren has also come under criticism from Democrats for potentially undermining the party's chances in the upcoming midterm elections. But some have praised her effort to get out ahead of Trump's taunting, unlike President Barack Obama, who ignored the claims that he was not a natural-born U.S. citizen. And finally, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal brought by three paint manufacturers who are being held liable for continuing to sell lead-based paint even after it was banned. In 2017, a lower court had found the companies responsible for creating a public nuisance by selling lead-based paint. The companies in question are Sherwin-Williams, ConAgra, and NL Industries. The Supreme Court's action brings to a close a lawsuit that had dragged on for years. And that does it for our headlines today.